to Unanthropologetic. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I have Flex and Preston here with me, as always.
I feel like, you know, my soul is in a musical spirit today.
Yeah. You know? Recently it has been, just like the past several episodes that we've recorded.
I just feel like, you know, R&B is flowing out of my body. So don't mind me today, especially with the topic that we have today.
Sure.
I may literally just bust out an R&B jam. So it's, you know, it's fine. We're not going to get sued. It's fine.
Do it. Unanthropologetic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Like I said, I'm feeling very energized. We're recording this episode in the morning versus in our evening, our usual evening time. So I have a lot more energy. I feel a lot more energetic. I'm preparing for my vacation for next week. I'll be going to Disney World. So I'm excited. I will have my thighs out. And maybe a butt cheek or two, but we'll see how that goes. I guess you can't do that in front of kids, but you know, at the pool, maybe it's like an adult.
Yeah. Live your life, man. I don't think, why can't you do that in front of kids? Is it?
I feel like it might be considered inappropriate, which is fine. But I feel like at the end of the day, my job next week is just to go and get as tipsy as I can while staying hydrated, enjoying my fiance and, you know, just being out here in these, you know, Orlando streets. So we'll see how it goes. How are you?
That's awesome. I'm doing okay. I'm like kind of living in this world of chaos. Yesterday we had like a little storm in Philly and I went upstairs thinking like, oh, I was just going to enjoy the storm. And then I was sitting there. One of my staff called me because I'm a program manager for a clinical trial right now. One of my staff called me because she had a question. And so like I had to come back down to my bedroom to like get my computer. And I realized that like my room was flooding.
Right. I saw that on your Instagram. I was like, what is happening?
Terrible. But yeah, so like my room's a mess. But it's fine. Like, I think this was gonna eventually happen anyway, because I'm getting ready to move to another apartment. So I welcome all of this because it's kind of helping me get the wheels rolling. But yeah. That's how I'm doing.
Well, I really and truly hope you can figure that out. It sounds absolutely dreadful, but I know you can do it. I know you can figure it out.
Yeah. But let's get into this episode. So we're really excited today because we don't have just one guest. We have three. And so as always, we're going to start with a little bit of a word association. It's going to be a little bit different just because we have so many people. But Preston, do you want to?
Right. So let me lay the foundation again, because we haven't done this in a long time, actually. We haven't had a guest in a while. So before we introduce our special guest, our guest of the day, we like to do this game of word association where Mona and I will shout out a word or a phrase. It's become a phrase now sometimes, where we ask our guests to just answer off the top of the dome of what comes to mind. And after that, we will then reveal who the guest is and allow them to kind of give a brief overview of who they are, what they do, and we'll introduce the topic because today's a good one. I'm really excited. But okay, are you ready, Mona?
Yeah, I'm ready. Do you want to ask the phrase or do you want me to?
I want you to. You're okay. Great at this.
So, all right. So off the top of the dome, what is a food that you are craving right now? So we'll have Danielle, one of our first guests, go first.
Cheeseburgers.
Why?
I'm so hungry. I woke up this morning thinking about cheeseburgers and like, I don't know why cheeseburgers have to be like a lunch food. I think it should be a breakfast food. And that's just what my mind was on and my soul is like feeling right now because I ate a cupcake already and now my soul is like, wait, can you do the cheeseburger?
it's a crisp 10:23. Where did you eat the cupcake?
Like maybe like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. Okay, it was bad. My fried cupcake, you know, it gives you that energy, you know. But I was like, okay, but now it's time for a cheeseburger. Now it's time for the main course. That was like the appetizer. I'm ready now.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you'll be able to get your cheeseburger after this.
Oh yeah, I want two, maybe two.
All right. What about you, Lena?
First of all, complete curveball. That is not where I thought that was about to go. So you just made my brain scramble. So thank
you. Good. That's the goal.
Not hard to do these days though, trust me. I actually don't have an answer because we just, this morning I ran to Panera, which I haven't really eaten since we left College Station. And I got bagels and quiche for my mom, my sister, and I to eat. And it was just such a good meal that my soul's not hungry. My body's not hungry. Like I don't ever have to eat again because it was just that nice to have that little breakfast with everyone.
Nice. Okay. What about you, Brianna?
I mean, I'm always hungry. So yeah, she is. Whataburger fries. Because I like the way like when they're fresh out of the fryer and they just scoop them right into that little packet thing and they're ready to go. Those are the best fries for me.
I haven't actually had fries from there yet.
We have to get you Whataburger. I feel like the cult following of Whataburger is actually very intense. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend in Waco and she has all of her business meetings at Whataburger.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's a bit intense for me, but she swears by it. So I know the fries are good. So
Are you in the city that bought Whataburger and like stole it and made it all corporate from us? I thought those people were from Chicago. So
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we steal everything else here in Chicago.
I could be wrong, but maybe Chicago's had enough to say about Whataburger.
You know, we steal the ballots. I mean, we're with the Windy City. And I was like, it wasn't until I moved here when I realized it was not because of the wind. I was like, what? What do you mean? It's not because of the wind, but it's because of our politicians. They go back and forth. They're horrible. They're like, they're always corrupt. I mean,
there's a tower y'all got that is quite corrupt. Saw it on the boat tour, but I'll back off.
What, our Sears Tower? Probably. I don't know much about the history of Chicago.
Wow, Lita's throwing shade today.
I know, all this shade towards Chicago. I'm like, okay.
Chicago is a beautiful city, but I'm not going to defend the history of Chicago. Because Chicago, honestly, they ain't really done our black and brown people right. I mean, it is still segregated. I mean, there's a lot of issues with Chicago.
I have nothing but love for Chicago. First city I saw Hamilton the musical in, so good experience.
Absolutely. All right. So thank you all for participating in our game. And so now we want to introduce you all. So you guys have already heard, we have Danielle, we have Brianna, and we have Lena here. And so we're going to go down the list and ask them to introduce themselves and give a brief overview of who they are and just anything you want to share. So Danielle, do you want to go first?
Oh, lucky number one. Okay, well, I'm Danielle. Let's see. Graduated from grad school a few years ago, just trying to live the American dream while working in a government sector, you know, trying to do the best that I can, you know, in 2021. So I think that describes me best, you know, just living the dream, living the quote unquote American dream and just trying to make
it. I was going to say, is that the dream? Are you living the dream or are you still working towards the dream?
You know, to some people, to the public health realm of people, they think that I am living the ultimate public health dream right now. But, you know, every day is something new. Every day is like, oh, okay. Or whatever. Like, it's a lot more hyped up than what it actually is. But it's okay. You know, I make it work. I make it work because that's me. That's what I do.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure you're doing a great job. So we'll get into it a little bit more. Brianna, do you want to go next?
Sure. My name's Brianna Clark. I'm a physician in North Carolina. After I did public health school, I decided to jump in and do rural medicine. So I now work in a very rural county and that has cows and pigs everywhere, but I only take care of people. and it's been quite a experience trying to figure out how to put practical public health information that I think in school we learn is just basic information and really apply it to a real life environment that doesn't always have internet access. So you can't just jump on the CDC website and pull something up and tell people, well, look, it's here, trying to figure out all those practical applications. So.
Wow. Yeah.
That's very interesting that you said that. I think, and not to go into a tangent, because I feel like we could talk about this all day, all five of us could, but just the difference of what you learn in school and then how do you apply it? I think that's a very steep curve depending on where you are, especially if you're in a rural town, because, you know, technology seems to always be the answer, but when technology can't be the answer, what are you doing? Right. So
yeah,
I commend you and Dr. Clark. I don't know. Do you want us to call you Dr. Clark? No. Do you want us to call you Brianna, Bri?
I usually go by Brianna.
Okay. So we'll call you Brianna today, but just everybody knows she's a doctor. Okay. And y'all need to address her correctly. All right. So, and then we're going to go to Lena.
So hi, everyone. I'm Lena. I'm a systems researcher and digital nomad. But since a lot of y'all already know who I am, I'm going to use this time to say two comments. First of all, Dr. Clark sells herself short. She's also trilingual, so she can provide care on that expert level to the patients that need it the most.
Come on. That's amazing.
Dang.
Also, Dr. Clark, that's the last time I say it, I promise, is the reason that I have an MPH. Her passion and love and the things that she accomplished at the School of Public Health is what drew me there. And even though I'm not specifically doing public health at this point in my career, all of those, what I'm accomplishing right now, I don't think it would have been possible if she didn't have the foresight to say, hey, I think you belong with these very interesting, colorful people that I now call my friends, you know, long term. Mm-hmm. And also, Preston, I know you mentioned you're in an R&B mode. I think it's because of the engagement ring.
Do you think? Maybe. I do. I have been feeling a lot more, what's the word? Like,
slow jam.
I was going to say sensual, but that's not necessarily the right word. But it's you know, I just feel very like, you know.
It's the love that comes from R&B, you know, like.
I feel taken. I feel, you know, chosen. Yay. Okay. I feel, you know, I belong to, well, belong not the right word either, but you know.
You found your person and your person.
Someone has captured your heart. Yes.
But you know, we could always talk about me, but let's not do that today. So, but thank you, Lena. And thank you all for introducing yourselves. One other thing that I just want to make very clear before we get into it, because I know they're not going to say it, but these are all very successful, talented Black women, or women of color. I don't know if you identify as Black, I assumed, but you know, Black women, women of color. And that's very exciting. To have you guys on the podcast today, because I am such a huge advocate for Black women. And I think, you know, you guys get a lot of crap for a lot of the things that you have to go through and put up with, and you're expected to be Black girl magic all the time. And it's hard. So I thank you again for all being here and for joining us to talk about the conversation today, because Lena and I have talked about this to varying degrees on the podcast. But today we want to talk about hair.
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 And you know what's really interesting is like I just think that both Danielle and Lena and probably Brianna too, I haven't really spoken to Brianna before. This is why I say that, but like, I just assume that I have personally learned so much from both Lena and Danielle while we were doing our MPHs together about what Black women face with their hair. And so that's kind of like a really important conversation that I felt like, I don't know, we want to bring it to everyone who's listening, just because I think it's really important to kind of have these conversations and also, I guess, understand the privileges like that some of us have just because of our hair.
I didn't want to cut you off because I love what you're saying. But also I just wanted to mention to those that are listening that what's really exciting about today's conversation is that all three of us Black women, though we are Black women, though we have pretty much the same master's degree, we all make very different choices with our hair on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, we do.
I used to ask Danielle so many questions because I don't do the things she does. I don't think I could. And she pulls it off flawlessly. I love it. And I tried one time and it didn't work and I'm never doing it again. with Brianna, she goes a completely different direction than I do. I respect her direction. She respects mine. We might flip flop. In the past, we were the same, you know? So I just think that's really exciting.
That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's a really good point. And so I guess that might be a good place to start. So what specifically are the differences between what the three of you do? Danielle, do you want to go first?
Yes. Okay. So during the beginning of grad school, I don't know if anybody remembers, but I had natural hair. My coils were on and popping. I had like reddish, coily, like natural hair with shaved sides. I thought I was like the baddest thing walking. Okay. Goodness. But then I decided to relax my hair and go and have like a pixie cut. And I've had my pixie cut ever since. And that's what I had previously before I had natural hair. So, and it's very like taboo now to say like, oh, you relax your hair. It's kind of like, oh, you go into the creamy crack. Like you went back. Like you
right. What was the decision on that? Because you're right. If you were natural and then you go back to the relaxer.
Because I didn't think I was going to get a job. Like, honestly, that is it. Honestly, that's what it went down to. Like, my hair is my crown and my glory. And having colored, reddish, natural hair with an undercut and talking about you're going to go to your professional job, they look at you like, I don't know, you're a little too eccentric. And then I had my eyebrow pierced. Like, it was a lot, okay?
You did. I remember that.
I was cute. I was so cute. But I had to kind of change myself and assimilate to something to make myself more marketable in the job market. I mean, I love my short pixie cut because I think I'm sassy. It's great. But sometimes I miss my coils and my curls and my fun hair color. But in the corporate America world, you know, I need to get a job.
So I do want us to come back to that topic. So I've written a note, but before we dive into it, because I know it will spiral into other things. Brianna, do you want to answer the question of just what are you currently doing now with your hair? And maybe even a brief hair journey. I know Danielle gave a brief one. So maybe a brief hair journey.
So I've been getting my hair relaxed probably since I was, five years old. And I tend to lie to people and tell them I'm in my 20s, but I'm actually in my mid 30s.
don't crack.
And people actually believe it sometimes until they realize that there's no way I could have gone to school that long unless I started when I was like in middle school, being in college.
Which is possible.
I've been relaxing my hair for a long time. And I relax my hair a little bit more frequently than most people do. Probably do about every 4 to 6 weeks, which is a high frequency. But I have very thick, long hair that seems to grow no matter what. Because of the type of work I do. So I'm a family medicine doctor. I work in COVID units now. And even before COVID, I was working in every part of the hospital, delivering babies, going to surgeries, going into people's houses to see them when they were too sick. So for me, it was easy to just relax my hair, comb it out, throw it in a ponytail, and go. When I still had people touching my hair, even during COVID, that's why I really started wearing a silk surgical bonnet over my hair. So it's the surgical caps you see doctors wearing, but mine was silk lined. And then I put another disposable one over it. Mm-hmm. And then put all my gear on for COVID, because hospitals aren't the cleanest places. And then when you add COVID on and people still want to touch your hair, it added up to, let me just put layers and layers over my hair so I can do my job and feel okay afterwards, a little bit safer afterwards. I also wash my hair a lot more frequently than most Black women do, because of the environment I work in. There's a joke going around that most family medicine physicians are probably colonized with every bacteria already, and that I've probably have been colonized with C. diff. Mm-hmm. It's a very, it's a bacteria that causes explosive diarrhea. To be quite
sure. Oh my gosh.
So when I come home, I shower. And I want, like, if I think my hair has been exposed in any way, I wash my hair. So I relax my hair way off more often than most people. And I wash my hair more often than most people, which means I have to artificially add oil back in. And I do get a lot of questions about that. Part of my job is to work with dermatology residents. There's not a lot of diversity in the field of dermatology, which is skin and hair. And there's always this question of, well, why are you putting oil in your hair, Dr. Clark? Like, that's so weird. Aren't you worried about your skin and blah, 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 blah. And I have referred them to go watch the Chris Rock, documentary. Good hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that, like, for somebody that knows nothing about Black hair, that's a good entry into, what we do. And I think it also speaks to the lack of knowledge in the general world when you have dermatology residents, people that only focus on skin and hair, that have no idea what Black hair is, what it means to our culture, and all the impacts that it can have on our health. And then, of course, they watch the show and they watch the Chris Rock documentary and look at me like I'm insane when I say that I relax my hair. But it's one of those kind of risks that I take. I know I'm putting myself at risk with having my hair fall out, possibly causing some skin damage. So I go back and forth about that too. But I'm also just finished talking about Whataburger fries. So I'm putting myself at risk.
Right. In a lot of other ways.
Well, and also
we choose the things.
I think you bring up some really interesting points, because I wonder if this concept of not putting hair in your oil is also this like Eastern world, like
Eurocentric
thing. Idea. Yeah, because in Indian culture too, we grow up putting oil in our hair all the time. Like my hair is oily right now because I purposely put oil in it. And so I wonder if that, I don't know. I think that's just a West or a Eurocentric perspective of I don't know, hygiene or beauty or whatever. And then the second point that you brought up was about like the limitations, or not even limitations, but like the lack of knowledge in the, like, when it comes to skin and hair health, like a couple years ago, I like started reading about how in med school, they don't show diagnosis on melanated skin. So sometimes things go misdiagnosed. And so that was also really shocking for me to learn. And yeah, definitely interesting and definitely an area where we need to do better. But yeah, those are really good points that you brought up.
And it's interesting also, because I was talking a little bit before you guys joined, but I am also in healthcare and I am the practice manager for a dermatology clinic in Illinois. So I work in dermatology all day long, and I have seen, we have zero physicians or providers of color in our division. And we have, I've seen maybe a handful of patients of color come through the door. So it is a true, it's a true disservice to kind of our Black and brown people, because we just don't have the access and people just don't have the knowledge to treat us and to care for us properly. So thank you for that comment. So then that takes us to Lena to answer the question of just your hair journey. And you really have to go in depth, because I know for a fact you have done everything under the sun with your hair.
Okay, so I'm sorry, y'all had a researcher last, so I got notes right now on my talking points. before I start, Preston, do you want me to address Danielle's comment about color, or do we want to hold that for a separate part of the conversation?
Go for it. Let's see where it goes.
All right. So, okay, I'm gonna come back to that one though, because I'm gonna leave that one last, because that's gonna be a long thing. And oh, sorry, let me catch my tone. Danielle, I completely agree with what you said, and I completely respect what you said. I've made some personal choices that I'll get into it though. So I just wanted you to know it was positive.
Oh, thank you. I'm listening.
I saw your face drop and I'm like, oh no, that came off rude.
Oh, no. I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. So my mom always tells my sister and I that in the Bible, it says Jesus anointed his hair with oil. So I wanted to check that comment off.
Okay.
And, about the populations that do daily anoint their hair with oil and the populations that don't. Anyways, so that's that comment. So my actual hair journey, it started like Brianna. I was getting relaxers growing up because we have the same mother. So, and, she was not over relaxing. She made sure that we had healthy hair. We did a lot of protective styles. For those on the call that are not melanated, protective styles means that you pick a hairstyle that allows your hair to maximize its moisture retention and minimize its breakage. So black hair itself, it needs a lot of moisture because those coils, it needs support. And so hydration, oils, conditioners, you're gonna hear us talking about that today. Those are those ways that we retain our moisture, along with the silk cap that Brianna mentioned. Silk helps keep the moisture on our hair. So a lot of us wrap our hair in silk caps, or I sleep on a pillow because I didn't grow up wrapping my hair because I am so lazy. And I'll rip it off in the night. I've tried all the different products. I'm sorry, it's going to come off of my head. And so I just wanted to go on and set that context for some listeners. Lots of resources on YouTube, Instagram, everywhere for anything that we just mentioned. So I got to a point where my hair was over relaxed. It was my fault. I wasn't taking good care of myself. And in that period of time, I just had really poor health in general. I've since realized all the intricacies of my body and, you know, what it needed and what it didn't. But something that I researched was that a lot of the chemicals in relaxers are not necessarily good for your body. Now, I wouldn't learn this years later until I was getting my MPH, how chemicals can absorb through your skin and and what those potential effects of those chemicals can be to specifically a woman's reproductive system. And so let's think about that. When these relaxers were created, it was because Black women were told that their hair didn't fit the white, Eurocentric standard of beauty. And so, and also, I mean, Black hair, you're going to hear it from us. It can be a pain to take care of. It's a work of art, but I got a day job. So it's not like whoever was creating these things, and yes, I know who created them, was sitting there thinking, oh, what's the long-term health risk to this person? Mm-hmm. No, they were thinking, how can these Black women just freaking survive? So that's my soapbox on that. So I realized, hey, these chemicals aren't good for me. Let me move away from them. chopped off all my hair. It's called the big chop. When you chop off all of your relaxed hair and you start going natural, you can also transition into going natural where you let the permed hair grow out and your curly roots come in. I was working at a white preschool at that time. That was not an option. And so chopped off all my hair, got a lot of really negative feedback from those in my neighborhood, got a lot of positive feedback from those in my community. Neighborhood and community were two different things in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And went on, grew it out long, got a jerk of a boyfriend that told me I was never allowed to have short hair again. Got accepted to A&M, realized I didn't want to have an afro when I started out in College Station, cut it all off again, cut out the boyfriend too. And then for the first year of SBH, I had really short hair. And it was funny because I had never had a fade before. And there was this country white woman at one of the like supercuts or something that was giving me amazing fades. I'm telling you, as soon as I got it cut, I would go shopping and people would stop me and say, ma'am, I love your hair. So crazy that that is the event.
Yeah, Lena. Mm-hmm. No, I remember, like, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the first times we met was like in a biostat study group. And I like remember thinking like, dang, that girl, she looks, her hair, like she just looks amazing. Cause like, also, short hair is not something that everyone can pull off. And so, I just remember, like, that was, like, one of my first, thoughts. But, yeah, when I met you for the first time.
My first thought about you is, oh, my gosh, I love how luscious and, like, dark your hair is.
No, we're not talking about my hair.
Oh, my gosh, I want it.
And isn't that wrong? And how appropriate that Brianna mentioned good hair. Mona, I have dreamed about just like chasing you down. I'm saying no. I could make a wig. I can do it. I know how. mostly kidding. I promise Mona's in no danger right now. It's all
we're not talking about my hair. But
thank you for that comment. So I cheated. Most women are terrified to know if they look good or not with short hair. My mom and I, who have the same bone structure, my mom's hair has been short for years, and I already knew what was going to happen. So user testing. So anyways, no one knows the story. I have never told this part of the story to anyone before. So you heard it here first.
Exclusive.
I started doing research while I was at SPH. And so for one of my first research projects, I was paired with a young white man to work to help him finish his master's degree. Well, I was at the end of my first year as a student, and I'm helping him finish his master's degree because he didn't know how to do his project. And so they pair me with him, and I could really, you know, when you're sitting in a room and someone hates you, hates you. Mm-hmm. And I could see the struggle on his face because I'm like, hey, I've helped all y'all on something. I feel like, you know me. I'm like, hey, what do you need help with? What can you do? What are your deadlines? And I was being genuine. I was just excited to be in the lab. So I helped him finish his project. And then everyone from the lab goes out a few nights later and he gets a little bit of alcohol in him. And the switch flipped. He starts complaining about Black women, our ugly ass hair, just everything. And ugly ass is a quote, I promise you. And I sat there and I thought, you would not have finished your master's degree if it were not for me. And I wasn't even getting paid at that point. I was just happy to help. You sat here and you called me ugly in front of all of my coworkers. From this moment on, I'm doing whatever the hell I want with my hair. Mm-hmm. And if anyone has something to say, they can get behind me because clearly all my ducks are in a row and you're probably just jealous. So, so that's my hair journey. I mean, now I will say to Brianna's point about the chemicals in perms, there has not been a lot of research on the braiding hair that we use. Cause I don't use human braiding hair. I would use Mona's, but I don't think
that's premium braiding hair right there. That's
Mona, if you ever need to pay a light bill, I'm actually a car note. I'm just telling you, someone will. And sorry, she's gorgeous. Where was I going with this? Oh,
yeah, there's no research on hair that's used for braiding. There's very little research on perms. So in the world of dermatology, which focuses on skincare and hair care, there's more information about people with lighter skin and with finer hair, that Eurocentric population. We have a lot of data on them. Most of our dermatology textbooks for medicine are written around that focus, and that's where a lot of the research goes. If you really want to challenge a dermatology resident or a dermatologist, ask them about black hair and black skin, because they're going to have a tough time. Eczema, which is a skin condition, is very easy to pick out on fair skin. Put it on dark skin, everybody's stumped. Any type of like skin allergy, skin dermatitis, breakage in hair, easy for them to figure out what to do with lighter skin individuals with fair skin and fine hair. But if it's an African-American patient that comes in with thick, coily hair, they're going to have a challenge figuring out, why is your hair breaking off? And sometimes I walk in and like, how often are you relaxing? What type of pillow are you sleeping on at night? That's why you're having all that breakage, which is where your hair kind of just, how would you say, just.
If you've ever seen a black woman, and not only black women, honestly, but specifically for this conversation, if you've seen a black woman and her hairline was just really far back or really thin, that's breakage. And the problem with breakage is that you've got very fine baby hair follicles along the front of your scalp. And if you damage them, it can maybe come back. But you're probably going to spend a lot of money and time. And a lot of the people that have these problems, since they lack that knowledge to prevent it, they likely don't have the access to the resources that they would need to find some type of relief. Mm. But so all of that to say, though, I mean, my hair is in braids. So there's a chemical called kinecocalon that is sitting on my scalp right now. I used to be highly allergic to it, and I would have to rinse my skin with apple cider vinegar to get that chemical away. Now, thankfully, I've become less allergic to it, but there's just as much leaching into my scalp every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like something that was also really shocking to me, again, because like, I just feel like, I mean, I think I understood that there was a lot of stigmas, but I like feel like Lena and Danielle, again, really like taught me a lot. But I remember, like, again, when we were in College Station, like Danielle would be Snapchatting me while she was relaxing her hair. And like, she was like telling me, like, this stuff can burn my skin off, or like, you know, it can cause all these things. And that was just also shocking to me that like,
will burn your skin off. Will.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm not going to tell y'all how often I'm actually relaxing. You say you're relaxing every 4 to 6 weeks. I have a short pixie cut. I'm relaxing every 2-3 weeks. I just take those chances because I just want to look cute. So I was like, you know what? I just don't even think about it.
Yeah, but that's just so
at all.
You're thinking about your health, we all kind of pick and choose what we want to get away with. We all know that we're supposed to be walking 30 minutes a day. Does that happen with everybody? We all know that French fries, pizza, cheeseburgers probably aren't the best foods ever. But we pick and choose. It's the same with our skincare and our hair health. And there's definitely a cosmetic world that plays into it, because we're all in professions where people judge us on our first appearance, even more so. So for me, I know that whenever I'm going to have my professional photos taken, or I'm going to be at an event where I'm speaking, people are paying more attention to my hair and my makeup and the clothes that I'm wearing than to the content that I'm saying. And part of that is because I'm a black woman. So I kind of have to play that balance and realize that there's risk in what I'm doing. There's definitely risk with getting my hair relaxed. But sometimes I'm playing that balance of, do I want people to focus on my hair and question like, oh, is it too nappy, or is it too out there, too loud? Or do I just want them to focus on what I'm saying?
And I want to, like, for anyone that wants to say, hey, maybe that's all in her head, I want to tell you something that both of us have experienced multiple times. They will hear us talking, especially if they didn't, if they never saw us, they only heard us over the phone. They'll meet us, be shocked that we are Black. And then I don't know if, yes, Brianna, you get this. You probably do because you have lighter skin than me. I have people ask if at least one of my parents is white.
Yes, all the time.
And just so y'all know, the race of my parents, my mother has 2 master's degrees. Dad has 1. Mm-hmm. And we all like to read. So that's why we talk like this. Thank you.
So let's actually get into that, though. Because, yeah, you know, Danielle mentioned it when she was kind of talking about her journey of, you know, making her decision based off of being considered more professional. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, so for example, I have recently started my dread journey over the last year and a half or so. And I remember when I first started, I spoke to another Black male who, he was bald, and I told him I was doing it. He worked with me, and he was an older gentleman. He was like 40, 50 maybe. And he said, oh, well, you don't care about promotion, huh? Because you're getting dreads. And I was like, one, I expect to hear that from my white colleagues. I did not anticipate hearing that from a Black colleague, but then it made sense because he's from a different generation. And I think we have all been told at some point that we are going to have to minimize who we are in order to progress through our career. And so I would really, and I don't know the best way to ask this question, but do you think there was a moment or a time in your life where that was, you internalized that message, and that is kind of how you, and it has kind of shaped how you've moved throughout your journey in your career? Was there a person, was there an event that happened?
Oh, I know for me, I saw it in a job interview. So I went on a job interview with my natural hair, and I thought I was cute. It was up. It was like in a neat kind of like bun. And they were just looking at me like, oh, like, why is she coming in here looking like that? Of course, they didn't like say anything to me, but you can, mm-hmm, kind of like feel those eyeballs on you. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So in the next like follow-up interview, I'm going to slap on a wig. I'm going to slap on this nice Black wig, about 20-inch wig, you know, curl it up real nice. And then they act like I was a totally different person. Like, oh, Danielle, it was so nice to meet you. Oh, you switched up your hair. I just love this so much. You should do your hair like this all the time.
Really?
So my natural hair wasn't good enough.
Right.
So, and I'm just like, gosh, I'm just trying to get a job. I'm trying to make it in life. Like, I'm trying to be who I am. But it's kind of like, I feel like I have to diminish who I am just to fit in the standards to get the job, you know?
Yeah,
there's been so many times where I just, it's a terrible feeling.
It's kind of like these microaggressions too, because even Lena's story about that person, the in the lab. Yeah. Thanks for saying it. But like, it's just like these microaggressions just for something that's growing out of your head. Like, I don't know. It's
literally, I don't know how it grows. If I do not put conditioner in my hair every night and use my fingers to work out every single knot and coil in my hair, then by day 2, my hair turns into dreads. Now, they don't look cute. They're not, you know, I wouldn't go out with, well, I have gone out with it because I didn't realize. I thought I got them all. I didn't. But it's whoever created the universe decided that that's what my hair should do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think for me, so I'm in a field that's very Eurocentric dominated. Medicine in general is just a male Eurocentric dominated field. The fact that I'm interested in rural medicine even more so, even though in the rural environment, there are very few, there are still some Eurocentric people out physically catching pigs, slaughtering pigs, bent over, picking strawberries, picking cabbages. Things that there's not really a machine that can do it. Somebody has to physically go out in the heat and do that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot more brown people doing that. And historically, it's been a lot of brown people doing that. But the medical system that supports those communities is white and male. So I have to be riding that line between trying to not be, I guess, too black, too different. On the professional side, it's been tough. So I have a pair of pearls that I wear only for professional things that I would never wear out to dinner because I think it looks ridiculous and boring. But now I'm to the point in my career where I'm seeing young black children and realizing that they might be imprinting the fact that success equals straight hair. Mm-hmm. So I've had these conversations with Lena that I'm considering just cutting off my hair and going natural because more so than the medications, the prescriptions that I write and the procedures that I do, the way I make children feel about themselves and believe themselves on themselves has a much bigger impact on their health in whole. So it might be of more benefit for me to just walk in as myself, as I truly am, into an exam room to see a kid than obsessing over what medications I'm going to write for them for their overall health. So I play with that a lot. Like, do I want to be that older generation that's pushing these
narratives?
Yeah, these narratives on young kids when they're saying, well, every black doctor I see has relaxed straight hair. Therefore, if I want to be a black doctor, I must have straight hair. And that is not the message that I want them to walk away with. I want them to walk away with they are enough, they are more than enough.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah, I love that too. And like, so that what you just said reminded me. So there's this Instagram account that's really, well, I think it's popular because I follow it, but it's this little girl named Jade. And she actually reminds me, like she, when I think of her, I think, I don't know. I feel like this is what Lena was like when she was little, but
I don't know exactly how Lena was like when she was little.
The same one I am right now.
But well, that's why I think that. Cause like, but this little girl, I'll show you a picture of her, but she, her mom like does a lot of like little reels where she's like doing her hair. She's a little black girl. And one of the comments, one of the like captions was about like how the little girl like started wanting straight hair. And so like the mom got all the women, you know, that she surrounded with to start wearing their hair more natural to, so that like, that's what, I mean, she was just like had the conversation with them because she didn't want her daughter to feel like that's what needed to be the norm or what's beautiful or whatever. And I just thought that was like, just so cute. Let me see if I can find a picture or something. Cause I don't know. She just reminds me of like, of Lena. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah. Kids today get to wear cute outfits. I feel like they put us in overalls and plaid. And so my pictures
overalls.
Yeah. So my pictures don't quite look like that, but same energy.
Totally. Yeah. I just like whenever I see one of her reels, she's such a sassy girl. Like to everyone listening, if you
sassy is 100% Lena when she's anyone.
But that's why I think that's why I was just like, this girl's like has to be like, she's gonna grow up to be just like Lena. But it's Jade Camille. I don't know how to say her middle name, but it looks like Camille. Maybe I'll like make a post or something and add it.
I definitely think that plays in because I remember when we were little, so Lena and I, we shared the same bed for a while. We slept in the same room.
For no reason.
Shared the same, I guess because we're related and we're sisters.
But there were other bedrooms.
I remember back in the 90s, we had a my size Barbie doll and my parents were able to find a black my size Barbie doll. But the doll came with straight hair. And for those of y'all that don't know, my size Barbie doll was what, about 3 feet tall?
Yeah.
And it was a big Barbie doll. We thought, or she thought, that the doll needed to get its hair relaxed. So she mixed some hair grease and I want to say toothpaste, because it looks like activator for hair relaxer, and put it in the doll's hair. But it plays into, I was upset when it happened, throw the doll out, but it plays into when we think about children, what they see and perceive as normal, because we do it so much, that at that stage, we perceived it as normal that this is a black doll, therefore it needs to have its hair relaxed. Mm-hmm. Maybe she did it just to upset me. I don't know. But I'm going to hope that it's what we perceived as normal. And I think we have to start thinking about what are we showing children that they might be perceiving as normal that really isn't. What is normal is what our hair looks like when it just grows out of our scalp. So
I never even saw anybody with natural hair before until I was like an adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I never saw natural hair. I thought that was like for those bohemian black women, you know, or the ones that live in the Caribbean.
For the Erykah Badu.
I never saw that. The Erykah Badu, like I thought that's just what that was. You know, I knew the Just For Me box of the creamy relaxer. And I wanted to look like the girl in the box because that's what I thought was beautiful. And that's what I wanted to look like with my straight hair. And getting my hair relaxed and just sitting through the burning and the chemical burns, like as a kid, to just get my hair straight as can be. Like, I never saw, like, I never saw natural hair. I never knew that's what people's hair could look like. I didn't think Black people had curly hair. I didn't even know that. I didn't know any of that. And it's like really sad that I just thought that was for like the mixed kids.
Yeah.
That had curly hair.
I completely agree with everything that you said, Danielle. And to add context to some of my sister's stories as well. At that time, Brianna and I were going to a private school, which, let's face it, predominantly children that did not look like us. I think there were only 4 Black children in the entire school. Of course, everyone, you know, anyways, we won't go down that road. And I don't remember that story happening, but I can tell you right now, if you are a little girl or a little boy listening to this podcast and you have a Barbie doll with straight hair and you think that it needs a hair treatment, it's actually 2 parts water and 1 part oil in a spray bottle is what I should have done. A couple drops of conditioner, not too much, or else you'll get buildup on your scalp. So I do apologize for getting my mixture wrong. I have put in the research. I now know what I should have done. I got texture issues, y'all. So anyways.
She broke a lot of my toys when we were little, too.
Okay, well, she deserved it.
So that with a straight face, too. But good.
I think that's interesting to kind of explore the why behind it, you know? And, you know, I think we are always kind of told, especially as Black people or people of color, that we have to assimilate in some way. Like, we're just not good enough being the people that we are naturally. And it's kind of funny how even children are fed these same narratives and it comes out in the purest ways where as an adult, you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness, what is happening? You know, like we have to protect them from these types of messaging. But then it's kind of like, well, how do you do that?
And I just want to say, and I really shouldn't say this since everyone on here just called me sassy for some strange reason. I completely agree with the whole, you know, children emulating the straight hair thing. But I also know kind of how I process the society around me. And so I am sure that my motivations, other than the fact that she probably broke one of my toys first, is that I probably touched that hair and realized it did not feel right. So my judgment in that moment wasn't even on the fact that it was straight and it needed to be straighter. I probably touched it, realized it didn't feel healthy because even at a young age, I cared about the healthy feel. And I knew in my mind, this needs moisture. If you go touch a doll's hair right now, and I'm not joking about like the spray bottle thing. When I go babysit Black children and I feel that their doll's hair is dry from the oils that are on their fingers that, you know, leached out that, I want this doll to have some fly hair. Like this doll's already cute. And I will sit there and I will, you know, whatever the style is, I'll just refresh it. So, but to some of Brianna's other points, I mean, she brought up how in the field of ergo, it's very Eurocentric. Y'all know what I did my grad research project on. It was ergonomics of Black women that are doing hair braiding, tasks that take 4 to 9 to 12 hours. Do you know how hard it was to march into the School of Public Health and tell the world-renowned ergonomist that, hey, your field, while cool, has completely missed this population that is right in front of you. I had to bring facts.
where do I get those facts? Where we just said there's no literature reviews on kinetochalon fibers. You know, no one else knows about these things. I brought the facts. I did the research, but dang.
And I remember the journey you had to go through.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do it. You, Preston, thank you. You convinced me.
I'm so glad we had that conversation, because I remember when you told me about it, and I was so excited to hear, and especially at that point, because I think I was moving into this place where I was very frustrated with my program, because I did not feel like it catered to Black and Brown people. It did not cater to the diversity among public health.
And it still doesn't.
But even when I was thinking about like maternal and child health, you know, that was my focus in my grad school, was maternal health. And there was this woman who came in who gave this amazing presentation where she talked about maternal mortality and how Black women, you know, they're dying during childbirth. And they were like, well, why is this happening? Even when you control for everything, when you control for education, you control for age, they still have a higher death rate compared to other white women or even Latina women. And it boiled down to racism. it was like, when you control for everything and it is still happening, why, right? And I think, but she didn't have the literature to support that. There was no one saying it is racism. A lot of this was just assumptions that she had made through her research. And so when you told me about your topic, and how it was frustrating, you know, you had to convince people that it was something that you should research, how there wasn't a lot of literature out there already. It just reminded me that means you have to do it more. That means you have to get it done. Because if you don't, who will?
Well, and so maybe I am sassy, because I remember multiple public health classes when they would show us that data, and the data is the same for whatever health disparity we're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have to study for the test. I already know what the answer is going to be. And every time, every single time they go, and why is that? And for the first few times I heard that, I didn't say anything. No one did. After a while, I started raising my hand and go, racism. And I started making enemies because I said that, but I kept saying it because I'm not kidding. And finally, all of the non-melanated students started arguing with me that it's not racism. And I said, then what do you think it is? Do you think that Black women are dumber? Do you think that we're inferior on a molecular level? Or do you think that we are the last people considered in our current system? And so the system's not designed for us to thrive. And we're fighting three times as hard just to keep our nose above the water. Mm-hmm. And since they'd never thought of it, I said, I'm gonna pause there, because this is my life and this is just a side quest to you. So bye.
It was always weird to me, just the amount of the people who were pursuing public health and did not understand how public health actually affects people outside of themselves.
Oh
yeah.
It was really weird.
That was one of the biggest gaps I felt like in at least my MPH. I mean, I'm sure Danielle and Lena and even you, Preston, you can like all maybe weigh in. I want to have a conversation about this because I have so much grief over like some of, but maybe it should be a separate conversation. But like
part two.
But no, I do have so much grief because like now I'm at a school that I do think does better. Like there's always going to be work to do. I don't think there's ever going to be a time when we can't work on being more inclusive and diverse and even having these conversations. But where we all did our masters, I think there was a very huge gap, especially when it talked about the gaps in the literature that are because people don't want to acknowledge race, or they don't want to sit there and have these tough conversations about racism or like microaggressions or aggressions even. And yeah, but I'm glad that we're talking about that. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, as always, for all the support that you show us. We'll be continuing this conversation next week, so definitely come back to hear what else Lena, Brianna, and Danielle, and Preston as well, what they all have to say about their experience in navigating the world we live in. In regards to, you know, Black people's hair. I've been learning a lot about this topic over the last several years, mostly just by listening to what my friends and coworkers have had to say, but also reading a lot about it on my own. And I really hope that as time passes, our Black friends are able to exist in more diverse and inclusive spaces. To all of you, I just wanted to encourage you to help create these environments where people like Lena, Brianna, and Danielle, and Preston can thrive as their authentic selves without having to put these conditions into contracts or face microaggressions. And I also know that a majority of you, if not all of you, are probably not the people that I need to be saying this to, but you can help spread the message. The responsibility to create these environments is really on all of us. Our exterior plays a very small role, if any, in what we bring to the table. And like our hair has nothing to do with what skills we have, and our outward experience or appearance has nothing to do with how brilliant or how intelligent we are or how much knowledge we possess. And so by working towards this collectively, we can kind of create a space for all of us to thrive and live more authentically. Thank you again to Danielle, Lena, and Brianna for joining us this week. Definitely come back next week to hear more of their brilliance and more of, you know, what they have to share and what they have to say about their experience. Follow us on Instagram at Unanthropologetic Podcast. Leave us a comment, subscribe, leave us a rating. And if you have anything you want to share, definitely reach out. This podcast is for all of us. Till next time, take care.